Hello and welcome. We're going to tonight move into our next lesson on real property. As you may remember, last time we started real property. And remember that real property is essentially rights and land. And we talked last time about possession and time, because possession is very critical to real property, and time is also an important element. Why? Because of the fact that real property is so valuable. Remember, it means wealth and power and life, and possession allows you to capture those elements. Time allows you to divide up those elements because it's so valuable that you can do it in slices of time. You can't do that really with personal property. We talked last time about the types of estates and what kind of estates you have. You have possessory estates and you have non-possessory estates. Tonight's lecture is on non-possessory estates. We're going to talk about things like easements and profits and covenants and servitudes. But remember, you have a possession and you have time. And what are the present possessory estates? You have fee simple absolute. You have the fee simple determinable. You have the fee tail, which doesn't exist anymore. And you have the life estates. And remember those defeasible estates, which are the ones that you have a fee simple determinable, a fee simple to a fee simple subject to a condition. You have a fee subject to a springing interest. Those three types, condition subsequent, fee simple determinable, and executory interest, are the types of defeasible estates. Remember, they have a condition on them, and that they can go back to another party in the event that condition exists. The fee tail doesn't exist anymore. That's today a fee simple absolute. It was trying to divide up for avoidance of the taxes on inheritance. And remember today, that is a fee simple absolute. Why? Because you can't divide your future interest, the future after your death transfer with the present one. And remember, it's got that magic language with it. It's got the language that says who you give it to and the form that you have. And fee simple absolute to A and their heirs, right? And when you have a life estate, then you say to A for life, or it could be pour autre vie, you know, life estate, meaning for the life of another. So to A for the life of grandma. Okay. Now, we also talked last time about future interests. And future interests are future possessory interests. You get to possess it. It's not like an easement, but it doesn't happen yet. It happens sometime in the future. And you can have those with respect to feasible estates. It is the interest that people have if the condition exists. You can have them with life estates when after the person passes away, because that's how long the estate lasts. Remember, reversions are remainders, but not all remainders are reversions. Reversions is when it goes back to the original owner. With the defeasible estates, you have a possibility of reverter with respect to the fee simple determinable, and you have a right of reentry when that is with a condition subsequent. That right of reentry needs action to be taken in order for that estate and that future interest to be able to go to that person upon the condition. The possibility reverter is automatic. That happens automatically. And lastly, we spoke about our title limitation rules. We talked about the rule in Shelley's case and the doctrine of worthy or title. That's like the fee tail, where they try to divide up the grants for purpose of avoidance of the inheritance taxes. Today, that is, again, not honored. You have to get and pay those inheritance taxes. So with respect to Shelley's case and with respect to the doctrine of worthy or title, those are no longer two separate grants. Lastly, in that area, well, I should speak first and foremost, the rule against perpetuities, that's three generation, that says that you cannot restrain the land or restrain a use of the land. We want to give you freedom on how you use your land and freedom to restrain it if you want, but that will not last more than 21 years plus lives in being, that restraint. And that is basically three generations, and that's why they do it, because they do not want people controlling land from beyond the grave, because conditions change. And we want land to be used at the highest and best use. And lastly, we spoke about the rule against restraints on alienation, complete restraints saying you can never sell the property. They're void. They do not ever get upheld. Reasonable, very limited restraints can be, you can't sell the property for a year unless it is for the purposes of, say, selling it for agricultural purposes, or it, with respect to commercial activities, that you can't sell it to another competitor within 5 miles or 3 years or something like that. Those limited restraints can be upheld, but blanket restraints saying you can never sell the property, or you can never sell the property to somebody who's not a family member, those restraints are void. They do not get upheld. And lastly, we talked about our case, which was the Crown versus Susanna North Martin. That was the Salem witch trials. And remember, the reason why they prosecuted those people as witches was they prosecuted the leading landowners in the community because witchcraft was a capital offense, and their lands got forfeited over to the colony as a result of that, and who took a commission on that but the prosecutors and the sheriff. Very sketchy stuff, those Salem witch trials. Not just the fact that the charge was bogus, but also why it was motivated. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about non-possessory interests, which are easements, profits, covenants, and servitudes. We're going to talk about fixtures, which are personal property that gets attached to real property. And lastly, we're going to talk about adverse possession, which is how you can basically take a piece of property and make it your own. It's legalized stealing, interesting stuff. And we'll wrap up tonight with our case, which is the Red Hill Outing Club versus Hammond, which talks about the tentativeness of property restraints. Let's get right in. Oh dear, now we have these Tinkerbell sounds. Until now, we have discussed our possessory interests. Interests in real property where you possess the land itself. But there are interests where you never possess some land. You only get to use the land. We're dividing up those input rights. Possession is one of the most critical aspects of your input rights and property, but with real property, they divide it up sometimes. So you have with a few simple absolute, you get all the input rights plus time, because it's indefinite, it's forever. With respect to non-possessory interests, you get the right to use the property, but not the right to possess it. These are known as non-possessory interests. And they come in four categories: easements, profits, covenants, and servitudes. Now, easements, profits, covenants, and servitudes are all non-possessory interests in the land. They create a right to use the land that is actually possessed by another person. These elements, these non-possessory interests, all have similarities in operation, coverage, creation, and termination. They also have several important differences in mainly the requirements that must be met for their enforcement. I don't know why they have this sound coming on, but sorry. The first type of non-possessory interest is an easement. An easement is defined as the right to use a tract of land for a specific purpose. And there's four types of easements. There's an affirmative easement, a negative easement, an impertinent easement, and an engross. So we'll go through each one of these. But it's basically your legal right to use the land. You don't have the right to possess it. You do not have the right to transfer it. You don't have the right on this for all e-put rights. You only have the right to use. We'll get into all of this as we get into the four types of easements. What are they? What is an easement? It is the right to use the tract of land, and you have no right to possess and enjoy the tract of land. You only have the right to use it. And it is limited. Typically, easements are created in order to give their holder the right to access the tract of land. Usually, it's things like laying a utility line. So when the phone company wants to bring the wire over your property, they're allowed to do that because they'll have an easement on your property. You grant them an easement so they can bring the wire so you can have phone service on that, or cable, or water, or electricity. All those lines have to go over your land, and you have to be able to grant them an easement, because otherwise they'd be trespassing on this. Frequently, people will grant an easement to drive over their land if their land is otherwise that they want to drive to is landlocked, and this way they'll be able to get there and go over your land on that. So let's talk about these. Easements, as we said before, are affirmative, negative, appurtenant, or gross. Let's talk about them. What is an affirmative easement? An affirmative easement grants the holder the right to enter on the servient tenant, that's the land that you own, that you grant the easement on, to make an affirmative use on it for specific defined purposes. So if I grant an easement to the telephone company or to the electric company to be able to use to have that wire over there, the easement says that you can bring the wire onto my property, and that I use telephone service you have, or use the electric service you have, or the water service you have, or the cable service you have. And you have the right as the cable company to bring that wire to me. They permit the holder, which is the easement holder, to use the estate. Otherwise, if you didn't have that, you could sue them for trespass or nuisance on your property. So, typically these affirmative easements include laying utility lines, as we said, draining waters, utilizing airspace over your estate. In New York City, frequently, they will build something over your land, and you own all the way up to a certain height above the ground. We talked about this before. The Blue Skies Doctrine says that it's not unlimited, whereas below the land you own to the center of the earth. Above the ground, you own some certain height above, so you can have air rights, and you can sell those by meaning or grant an easement for other people to use it. A right-of-way easement, as we just talked about, permits the holder to travel over your land to be able to get to another place. That's frequently done by means of a driveway, particularly when you do subdivisions on this. What's a negative easement? An easement prevents the possessory owner from doing a specific activity. These easements, in effect, are the same as a restrictive covenant that we'll get to shortly. Courts are very hesitant to recognize new form of negative easements and generally have confined them to a handful of things, such as when they are designed to protect light or air or view or lateral support, such as you can't change the height of your property so that water flows differently from one parcel to another, or that the property would slump onto somebody else's by nature. So the construction of a lake view obstructing fence would be considered one of these negative easements, where I could buy an easement from you and say, please never build a fence or plant foliage so that I can't see my lakefront view. It could also be to remove or obstruct a local storm drainage system. I have a gully between, it's a storm sewer between, and it's just basically a big open ditch by which water runoff travels down between my house and my neighbors. And I can't obstruct that, which would back up and cause flooding or cause a problem with my neighbors on that. So they could get a negative easement on that, and the town has an easement on that gully because the storm water discharge system that goes between the houses and our development. Okay. Third type of easement is an easement appurtenant. Easements appurtenant is when a landowner of one tract landowner another tract have to interact, and you have two tracts related on this of land. You have a dominant tenement and a subservient tenement. The subservient one is the one over which the easement travels. The dominant one is the one over which gets the benefit. Frequently, this is where you have to drive over my property to get to yours, or you have to use my property somehow for the benefit of yours. They have to be adjoining, and that's what an easement appurtenant is. An easement in gross is created when the holder of the easement acquires a special right of use independent of his ownership or possession of another tract of land. With this easement, the holder is not benefited in his use and enjoyment by virtue of the acquisition of this privilege. There is no dominant tenant. And with respect to this, this could be when I use the utility or a railroad track or something like that. I'm using your land for generally for an economic purpose, but it doesn't always have to be. So easements in gross are things like when the telephone company or when the cable company runs a wire over your land. They're not related to another tract. It's related to delivering some kind of economic benefit. Excuse me. Now, how are easements created? How do you start them? How do you do it? You can do it by an express grant, which is basically means I, as the landowner, as the property owner, will grant you this easement. I will turn around and do that. So when I turn around and get cable service, I give the cable company an express grant, a right to be able to run that wire over my property. An express reservation is very similar on that. And what that does is when I'm subdividing a piece of property, I reserve that for my property. So if I have a piece of property which is behind yours and I'm going to keep that property and I sell you the property in front of mine, I can expressly reserve in the subdivision of that property that easement right so I can get to mine. Implication and prescription we'll get to a little bit more in a moment. Implication is created by operation of law. What that basically says is I have to have that in order to have my land be used. So it's an easement by necessity. It's often referred to. So if the only way I can get to my land is to drive over yours, I could have an easement by implication because otherwise my land becomes meaningless and I have to be able to have that. This implication one does have serious restrictions. It's not like an express grant or an express reservation where it's put in and defined in the deed by contract or by a separate titled instrument. This is actually done because it's needed and the law allows you to have it. Prescription is an easement by adverse possession. I'm using that easement for a period of time. The parcel holder over which I'm using the easement doesn't complain for a period of 10 years. You get to have that easement as a result of that use. And it is by adverse possession, and we're going to discuss adverse possession at length in our last lecture tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit more. How do you end an easement? Well, you end an easement the same way that you basically can create it by means of a written document that's known as a release. So I can turn around and say, hey, listen, I don't want you to have that easement anymore, phone company. Well, they're not going to provide me phone service. Let's say I discontinue my phone service. I no longer want a landline. I only want to have cell phone service. So I can have a grant a release whereby I write to the phone company, say your easement is canceled and I don't want that wire going on my land anymore. It can be terminated, as we said, by this release given to the owner of the easement. As a result of that, they no longer have the easement on it. It can also be done by abandonment. Party using the easement or owning the easement no longer does it for a long period of time, then it can be deemed abandoned, and that can be the end of the easement too. Now, what is a profit? Let me go back. What is a profit as opposed to an easement? A profit, it's just like an easement, but the difference with the profit. The profit is whereby the party who seeks to use the land wants to extract some kind of benefit from the land by taking the soil or a substance of the soil or some kind of natural resource within the property and extracting it. So they don't really want to use the land. They want to extract something from the land. This is frequently done when you mine the land, or you pump out oil from the land, or you take water from the land. Unlike easements, there's no constructual preference for engross or pertinent. What this basically says is, hey, listen, you don't get to own the land, but you get to take that resource out of the land. And it's called a profit because basically people make a profit over it. It's a commercial transaction. It's created in the same way as an easement, and it's alienable. It's exclusive and non-exclusive depending on how it's drafted. The scope and nature of the profit is determined by the words of the grant that you have, and it's terminated in the same manner as an easement. Covenants. Covenants and servitudes are where you have a promise running with the land. That means as long as you own the land, you keep that. Which it's found in your deed, can be attached to the deed, and is just like the easement's attached to your deed. And what it does is it says, I won't do something with my land that hurts your land, okay? As with all other non-possessory interests, a covenant can be terminated by the holder of the benefit by executing a release. It can be done by merger, where the title is put in the hands of a single owner. So if you have the property across the street, if I buy your house, that can be eliminated. Why? Because I have the view in my house and I don't need that with yours. And it can also be eliminated by the condemnation of the burden property. Equitable servitudes are the same exact thing as a covenant. They're both created on that. There's no real distinction in the law anymore with respect to equitable servitudes and covenants. They run with the land, as we said. So as long as the two owners own those properties, they run with that, and their successors and interests are also granted it. Non-possessory interests include easements, profits, covenants, and servitudes. Hope you've enjoyed it. This is a very important aspect of real property because it allows others to use your property. It shows how valuable real property is because you're able to divide up those e-put rights and grant some of them to somebody else. So with respect to a non-possessory interest, means you don't get to possess it, but you get to use it. See you next time. Thanks so much.